It's 14 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Monday morning. My name is Junaid Jasad. I will be with you, inshallah aziz, right up until 12 o'clock. Today's program is going to focus firstly around an African country, as we have been learning on Mondays about the various African countries. We'll be looking at an African country, particularly this week, Ethiopia. Very interesting, and we know we have many Ethiopian nationals who reside in South Africa currently, but we'll be looking at Ethiopia as a country and as a tourist destination, an interesting piece of information that has surfaced with regards to Ethiopia is what we'll be sharing with you in that segment of the program. And inshallah, at 11:30, we'll be switching over onto a discussion concerning parenting, particularly this week. It's exam times, and we are going to look at teenage boys. And we know, every parent knows how difficult it is to get your teenage boy, teenage son, to start studying or to really work hard at the schoolwork. And we will be looking at that topic, inshallah, as these teenage boys, and are they really struggling? What is the issue? And what can we do to help them, inshallah al-Aziz? That's the program for today. Inshallah, the first part of the program is that we will look at the Ethiopia as a country and learn about the country particularly. Now, firstly, we look at a basic overview of the country of Ethiopia. It's known as the Federal Democratic Republic of Ethiopia. It's a country located in the Horn of Africa. We've heard of the Horn of Africa. On its borders, it has Eritrea to the north and northeast. It has Djibouti and Somalia to the east. It has Sudan and South Sudan to the west, and Kenya to the south. So it's bordered by a number of countries and over 100 million inhabitants. So it's population is huge. It is the most populous landlocked country in the world, and it's the second most populous nation on the African continent after Nigeria. Total area of Ethiopia is 1.1 million square kilometers, and you can find some of the oldest evidence for anatomically modern humans. Now, this is what they are saying in terms of evolution, but all this evidence for human inhabitants is found in Ethiopia, which is widely considered the region from which humans first set out for the Middle East and points beyond. According to linguists, the first Afro-Asiatic speaking population settled in the Horn region during the ensuing Neolithic era. Now, Ethiopia derived prestige with its uniquely successful military resistance during the late 19th century scramble for Africa, becoming the only African country to defeat a European colonial power and retain its sovereignty. Subsequently, many African nations adopted the colors of Ethiopia's flag following the independence. It was the first independent African member of the 20th century League of Nations and the United Nations. In 1974, at the end of Haile Selassie's reign, power fell to a communist military junta known as Derg, backed by the Soviet Union, until it was defeated by the EPRDF, which has ruled since about the time of the collapse of the USSR in 1991. There's about 80 different languages that are spoken in Ethiopia, the three largest of which are the Tigray, Oromo, and Amhara. Most people in the country speak Afro-Asiatic languages. And then you have the different types of languages that you find there. It's also the origin of the coffee bean, the land of the origin of the coffee bean. And we know how much of coffee is drunk all over the world, and what people enjoy coffee and how much they enjoy it. So we have Ethiopia, which is the land of the region of the coffee bean. It is a land of natural contrasts. It has the vast, fertile west, jungles, numerous rivers, the world's hottest settlement of Dalol in its north. It has Africa's largest continuous mountain ranges. It has the largest cave in Africa at Sof Omar. And Ethiopia has the most UNESCO World Heritage Sites in Africa. You have the Ethiopia's ancient Gez script, or Ge'ez script, also known as Ethiopic. It's one of the oldest alphabets still in use in the world. The calendar, which is 7 years and around 3 months behind the Gregorian calendar, coexists along the Oromo calendar. And you have, in terms of religions, a slight majority of the population adheres to Christianity. Around a third follows Islam, and the country is the site of the Hijra to Abyssinia and the oldest Muslim settlement in Africa, at a place called Negesh. And we know about Najashi and how the Muslims came to Africa, and this is where they actually settled in Ethiopia. And a substantial population of Ethiopian Jews known as Beta Israel resided in Ethiopia until the 1980s, but most of them have since gradually emigrated to Israel. It's one of the founding members of the UN and the Organization of African Unity. Addis Ababa serves as the headquarters of the African Union, and we can learn a lot. And Ethiopia is the main source of the Nile, which is the longest river on earth. Ethiopia underwent a series of famines in the 1980s, and there was civil wars and adverse geopolitics. The country has now begun to recover recently and now has the largest economy in East Africa and Central Africa. According to Global Firepower, Ethiopia has the 46th most powerful military in the world. So it's a very interesting and beautiful country to visit. Now, I said one fact about Ethiopia that has come up, and this is around the starting of this year, around July. There was an article that appeared in the Daily Mail and then in various other news sites as well, that which country has won the world's best tourism destination for 2015. And you would be thinking that it's either sunny Spain or Thailand or country France or something like that, but it's not. It's actually Ethiopia, and Ethiopia has taken the top spot in awards by the European Council of Tourism and Trade, and they paid compliments to the country's 9 UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Last year's winner was Zimbabwe. Ethiopia became the most sought after destination in Africa. So it was given the award by this Council on Tourism and Trade, and they spoke about the landscapes, the ancient culture, and there were 31 countries competing for the illustrious award this year, and Ethiopia came up on top. You have the Bete Georges, also known as St. George's Church, at the Lalibela Holy Site, and that's a key tourist spot. So it's churches that have been engraved deep in the ground, or they have been carved out deep in the ground. Then you have the lava lake of the small crater in Erta El volcano, and that's something people will remember seeing forever. And Ethiopia has 9 UNESCO World Heritage Sites, as we mentioned. And tourism was defined as a tool for poverty eradication. Ethiopia's goal is to boost tourist revenues to $3 billion this year. In 2013, revenues from tourism were $2 billion. And if it achieves that, it will start challenging the dominance of regional rivals on the eastern side of Africa, such as Kenya and Tanzania. Here you don't have beach holidays, you don't have safaris. Ethiopia is promoting its imperial past. You have the below-ground 13th century churches of Lalibela, and visitors' numbers have increased in the past decade. In the capital, Addis Ababa, the transformation from starvation years and the Red Terror purges of the 1970s and 80s is plain to see. That construction is booming and metro opens next year, and you have a train that's going to be cutting through the city, the only such network in sub-Saharan Africa. And then you have the humanity landmarks, such as ruins of the city of Aksum, the heart of ancient Ethiopia. You have the Faisal Rebbe, residents of the Ethiopian emperors during the 16th and 17th century, have Harar Jugal 82 mosques, 102 shrines and unique interior design in the townhouses. And then you have the Konzo cultural landscape, lower valley of Awash, where humanity made his first steps, where was found the Eva of all mankind. You have Lucy's fossils, and the lower valley of the Omo. You have many, many things available in Ethiopia. Very beautiful. The Simien National Park is a beautiful landscape, mountainous area. And it's an absolutely stunning place. If you look at the pictures of Ethiopia, you will see unique things. Looks like something out of space also, certain areas. Dalol is a recent crater. It was formed during an eruption in 1926. And colorful hot brine springs and fumarolic deposits are found in the Dalol area. Then you have the gate at the center, at the entrance of the modern city of Harar. You have people unrolling and making cotton there. So Ethiopia is a unique, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country. And it's definitely a tourism destination, and we can really enjoy the country there. Well, it's just gone 25 minutes after 11. Inshallah Aziz, we will take a little bit of a break. We'll come back with our segment on parenting just after that. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is 29 minutes after 11. The topic that we are focusing on right now is parenting, and in particular, we are going to be speaking about teenage boys. We all have those teenage boys, and we all have these youngsters. The issue that we have with them is that they just don't want to get down and hit the books. That is the thing. They just don't want to get down, they don't want to hit the books, they don't want to study, and we are obviously going to have problems with regards to that. How do we get them to sit down and study? Illa mashallah, you have many good boys who are focused, they study, they go through their books, they make something happen out of it, but you have, by and large, I found parents complaining about this one issue, that my son just doesn't want to sit down and study. And when he's younger, perhaps he worked a little hard, now that distractions have come in, he just doesn't want to sit down and study. How do I deal with it? How do I make him sit down and study? How do I make sure that he doesn't mess up his year? That is the greatest concern that parents have, that how do I make sure that he doesn't mess up his year? And we are going to look at this topic, and we're going to focus on this and look at how we can overcome this, inshallah. That is the basic thing, that together we can overcome this, we can make it a positive thing, we can take it from being a problem to an opportunity. This is what we are looking at, inshallah. And that is what we always need to look at in everything, that how to change it from a problem into an opportunity. We are looking at this, and we will be focusing on this in just a little while. You stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Inshallah, we'll be back with you in just a little while. Okay, welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Looking at some statistics, firstly, difference between boys and girls. Looking at America, particularly with the population, etc., the United States has seen a remarkable change in the academic success of boys versus girls. In 1970, 58% of college graduates were young men. Now, close to 60% of college graduates are women. This gender gap continues to grow. You'll have boys who will thrive in school, but more and more it's girls who do academically well, and boys are losing ground. 2/3 of the D's and F's given out in school go to boys. Boys are 1/3 more likely to drop out before finishing high school. Grade 8 girls score higher in both reading and especially in writing than boys do. And by 12th grade, that gap has widened. The average grade 11 boy in the United States writes at the level of the average grade 8 girl. So when the boy is in grade 11, he's more, on average, he's more equal to a grade 8 girl. Then, a few years ago, medical schools in the U.S. began accepting more young women than men. And soon you're going to find medicine will be a female-dominated profession. And the statistics go on and on. On average, girls outperform boys in primary school, in early high school, and in high school, and college and graduate school. So in universities, everything, it's boys, girls who are dominating in education. Now, what is the reason? Experts disagree on the reasons. There's a book by Christina Hoff Sommer. She says, The War Against Boys. If you read that, you'll say it's feminism. It's feminizing schools. If you read Leonard Sachs, Why Gender Matters, or Michael Gurian's The Minds of Boys, you'll think that it's the brain differences between boys and girls that educators don't take into account. If you read a book by Peg Tyers, The Trouble with Boys, you'll conclude that classrooms are unfriendly places for boys and the teacher techniques don't work for boys. If you read other experts, they'll tell you that the boy crisis is overblown. Now, what we do know and realize is that this is happening not just in the U.S., it's in Western Europe, the U.K., Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. And once parents and educators removed the psychological barriers to higher education that used to exist for girls, and that is once the playing fields were leveled, girls outstripped boys in schools. That's the reality of it. Now we need to motivate boys to do better in school. And many parents ask the question that my 7-year-old son hates school. It's a fight getting him to school every morning. How do I motivate my 15-year-old to care about school? My son is bright, but he's just cruising through school. He never makes an effort to do his best work. And these are statements that every one of you will identify with. You need to start understanding why your son hates school, or why he doesn't think that it's important. So there's 5 different types of boys who are not doing well in school. And this is the reason why the boys are not doing well. And once you understand the reason, then obviously you'll be able to address the reason, inshallah, Aziz. You have the struggling boy. He's the first type of boy. So the vast majority of boys who get good marks in school, they are not underachieving. They are making the effort. They are struggling academically because they are of below average intelligence and the work is hard for them, so they are making an effort. Or maybe they are of average intelligence, but the school is demanding of them. So, for a boy, it's humiliating to know that you are struggling with academics, you are struggling with work, and other boys find it easy. And it's frustrating, it makes you want to run away. So these struggling students need teachers who can make learning fun. They need teachers who are going to give them ongoing respect. They need the respect of their teachers. They need the respect of their parents. They need to stay motivated. And these boys need to hear the old saying, as long as you're trying your hardest. And this is what parents and teachers need to keep reminding them, that if he's struggling, and if you know that his understanding, his level of intelligence is not as high, and he's working hard but he's finding it difficult to understand, then you need to reassure them that as long as you're trying your hardest, as long as you're doing work, and they need respect from their teachers and parents. They don't need someone to turn around and tell them that you are lazy or that you're not working as hard as you could, or you're not achieving as good marks as you could have achieved. The second type of boy that we are looking at is the learning disabled boy. The first one was the struggling boy. He's trying hard. He needs reassurance. He needs respect. Second is the learning disabled boy. The expert called Priscilla Vail. She's an expert in leading disabilities. She used to say that 1/3 of boys have funny brains. What does that mean? We know that boys have more variable brains than girls do, and this affects their school performance. 2/3 of children in special education are boys. Many of these boys have real learning disabilities. Some are there for emotional, some are there for disciplinary reasons. In the past, they used to call boys with learning disabilities stupid or lazy. But now we are able to focus on the areas of their brains that do not work as well as others. But we don't have a cure for learning disabilities. These disabilities don't go away, and they are demoralizing for any boy. So that type of boy with a learning disability, perhaps he has a challenge in a certain aspect or a certain section, certain part, but he has strength in another aspect. And so we need to focus on that and focus on his strengths. Now you have what I am experiencing and many parents are experiencing, the cruising, or in brackets, the good enough boy student. This is a thing that you are going to most likely experience with your young, with your son. These boys, they feel that school is hard and boring, and that they do enough homework, and that there are other things to be interested in. Unfortunately, girls, sports, part-time job, cars, etc. It's not that a boy like this has a particular passion. It's just that he doesn't like school all that much and doesn't see how school is related to his future. But the only ways to motivate a cruising or good enough boy is to continue to hold high expectations for him and express your ideals and some sense of disappointment. Or second is to use incentives to induce him to change his priorities. For example, if he wants a car, he must get a certain average. If he wants a phone, he must get a certain percentage. Some parents react negatively to the idea of bribes, but this specialist says that they call them incentives. They work in business, they work for kids, and you need to motivate this young man to work harder. And show him high expectations. Show him that he is capable, and that is why you are giving him these high expectations, and he needs to work at it to make a success out of it. And so these are the first three types of boys. You have the struggling boy, you have the learning disabled boy, and you have the cruising for all good enough boy student who thinks he's in simple South African terms, he thinks he's too clever. That's what we are looking at, those first three types, and we're going to take a bit of a break. When we come back, we're going to look at two other types of boys, the otherwise engaged boy and the allergic to school boy. We'll be speaking about them after the break. Stay tuned to Al Mashreq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al Mashreq on Radio Islam International. We looked at three different categories of boys who are not doing so well in school. We looked at the struggling boy who is just slightly challenged with the academics of school. And then we looked at the learning disabled boy. And then we looked at the cruising or good enough boy student who thought he was just too smart and clever for school. And now we look at the otherwise engaged boys. Now, who is this? They are boys who develop interests outside of school. And these interests are so compelling that school is no longer holding interest for them. It's not attractive for them anymore. The satisfaction that talented athletic boys receive playing soccer or cricket, whatever else, for example, or the sense of usefulness that other boys get from jobs that give them some salary, etc., being part of whatever else it may be, computer games, online businesses, they are far greater than anything that mere marks will offer them. And so it's exciting when a boy discovers a passion he wants to pursue, but it also presents many challenges to their parents because now they are no longer interested in school. And then you have finally the fifth type of boy is the allergic to school boy. Children who seem to be allergic to the school environment. And it's a reality. There are some boys form the physical experience of being in a class all day, the psychological experience of having a teacher who controls everything, the frustrations of having to sit still, the humiliation of marks, and many other annoying things about the school environment for them. It's simply intolerable. They can't accept it. They can't take it. And if your son is allergic to school in this way, it's going to be a struggle to keep him going until he completes school. He needs teachers who will understand him, who can work with boys who hate school. And they mustn't take it personally as teachers. And teachers need to be willing to modify homework demands, and they need to be willing to see the school environment through the boy's eyes, and then they will be able to work with him, they'll be able to make a success out of his schooling. So those are the five different types of boys that you get. And then obviously you have boys otherwise engaged, also could include boys in our Islamic environment who are doing Hifdhul Quran. That they don't, not that they are seeing it as being better than school or being a replacement for school, but they're just so busy with the Hifdhul Quran, with the hours of Hifdhul Quran, and with the investment that they have to put mentally and physically into Hifdhul Quran, that they find it difficult to then concentrate on school. So that is also a challenge that these boys face. Now, how do we overcome this, and how do we make sure that boys succeed at school? So at a glance, if you look at it, we need to understand a few points. Number one is that boys thrive when they are respected by their parents. So parents need to show them respect, show them acknowledgement. It's a point that we make over and over again, that your son, your daughter needs your acknowledgement, they need your respect. Secondly, is to show your son that homework is worthwhile by getting involved in the homework with them. If you do the homework with them, then they will value the work themselves. The third thing is that school attendance is critical to a boy's success, a success at school. So you need to make sure that they attend school, and you need to point out things that your son is doing well at school before moving to a specific area where they may not be doing as well. So point out the positives, see how well they're doing in those positives before you go out pointing out the negatives. And you need to help your son value his learning by pointing out the connections between what they do at school and by what's going on around in the world. And then they will realize that what I'm learning is relevant to the world around me. It is of value. It is going to contribute to my life outside of school. And so I need to concentrate and work hard at it so that I'm an able and capable person living out of school, inshallah aziz. And so we need to really work hard at helping our children succeed at school. Inshallah, next week we will look at tips at helping boys succeed at school. So that's our program for today. Shukran jazilan to you for listening to the program. Any feedback you may have, you can email zunaidjassat@gmail.com with a Z, zunaidjassat@gmail.com. And you can follow on Twitter @Zunjas, @ZUNJAS. Shukran to my studio operator, Brother Usama, this morning for handling the dials all the way in Indonesia, and very great shukran to you for listening from Tunisia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.